Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
Winter, spring, summer, fall, seasons change, we still keep it together.
Hey, Beverly Hills 90210 fans, are you ready to dive deep? Episode by episode, storyline by storyline, character by character, as we break down the making of your favorite zip code with your host, Charles
Rosen. Did I say
that? Jeez. Harry
Mullen. This thing about the real person, and we go, what? We're getting rid of this guy.
Pete Ferrero.
I'm feeling wonderful. Kathleen looks TV crush worthy.
Like so many special guests and all your questions. Live on the Beverly Hills 90210 show. Oh, yeah.
Well, we are live here on the Beverly Hills 90210 show.
I'm doing a little doggy stuff. Be right back.
Chuck is doing some doggy stuff. That's the last week you're going to see that intro. So collect your thoughts on that. We will have a new, we did a beta run of it a couple days ago, but we're tweaking it a little bit, and we will have a new intro next week. Larry, you're mobile, but you're...
I'm mobile. I'm going to go into a secure room. I just wanted to quickly walk through, see what that was like, because I've got a different rig today. A little, you know, let's see what's going to go on. And that's it. Here I am.
All right.
Hello, hello, hello.
A few things. 90 News will be back on Friday. Yes.
News.
Brian Navarro and I will be doing that. We're going to take a little bit of a different twist on it instead of what's going on with everybody with 90210. We're going to take things that are happening on Reddit, the hot takes, and we're going to break it down. Larry, I think you might join us for this hot take on Friday.
I have one thing which I have a vested interest in, which I want to clear up.
Yes. The big topic, Chuck, is did David actually wait for Donna when they inevitably had sex in season 7? This is a big hot topic on Reddit right now. Is it considered waiting? He did sleep with other
people.
Well,
do you want me to blow my take right now? My
no,
take
don't,
is really
don't,
simple.
Don't. Don't. That's the for 90.
Okay. It's very simple.
And Chuck and I were back on Patreon this week. We did a watch along of this episode. So that's back. We're full throttle, and we're back on Instagram, which was very exciting. Thank you, Annie. We have some nice gifts.
90210 tchotchkes.
BH 90210 show podcast is back. Chuck, how are you?
Okay today. There was one of those, he's old and he has to see doctors. But it was a good day. My leg's feeling good. And tomorrow is a very special day in Rosen World because my granddaughter, Helen B., gets to go to Children's Hospital in Los Angeles and ring the bell as a child who's no longer is on active treatment and is in remission. So we're pretty happy about it. We would not have predicted that very fast. So the bell ringing is tomorrow. So
fantastic.
Have joyous time for us.
Our buddy Drew Kenny says, Merry Christmas, boys. We will have the super deluxe Christmas party next week. This is just the pre, I don't know, what would they do?
Right, call
this
but have you been announcing it as the 20th?
I'm going to announce that right now as the 20th,
which is the Wednesday.
If we can move it to the 21st, I'm not good on the 20th. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't know.
I thought you didn't want it on the 21st.
No, it's the 20th. That's
the Wednesday.
Going out with Avery and Hannah, and we got.
Okay, cool. Yeah, Thursday's fine. It doesn't matter.
No, Thursday's better for me. So,
thank you.
Thursday's better for me too because I'm traveling Wednesday.
Because I realized, wait a second, this is going to be a problem here. So yeah.
So super deluxe Christmas parties the 21st.
Fan feud. Fan family
feud. We'll tell you more about that. But essentially, yeah, we're going to have a lot of polls on Reddit and Instagram, and we want to know the answers. Larry,
survey says,
Chuck and I are not going to know the answers to these polls. Who is the greatest villain? Right? What is the best episode of this? What is the best episode here? This is
what
the kind
is the
of
biggest stuff. Tearjerker.
And also, you know, so I've got some music ones in here. And remember that when you're filling those guys out or different ones on that end up coming up about it, that it was just your favorite songs. I mean, you know, clearly, you know, R.E.M. is all over the map, or Chris Isaac or that.
Yes.
But there are other songs you may have liked too. So those more obscure ones.
Caitlin Ryan says they have 10,000 subscribers on Reddit. So thank you for that. That's really awesome.
Caitlin is a good friend.
My next door neighbor runs Reddit.
Oh, well, invite them on, and they.
I should ask Ryan to come in here and do something. We're doing Reddit now. I should find out what it is.
We're Reddit enabled. I want to get some of those archives for their polls. They've already done so much of this.
Really?
That's what they based the whole thing on. It's basically a trolling thing. You try to get into pick a fight with somebody.
It's yes. A
troll.
Oh, that's well, sure. Well, that was about. So, in other words, where we're at is the exact opposite mind space I was at as I was making the show. Which exactly. Is we're going to bring people together. It's right. A sweet time. You're going to be positive. No. I think we're not how it works anymore.
Setting them apart. Setting them against each other. Yeah. What fun.
See, the wave has a question. Nobody took the 110 freeway at all today, I hope. What is that in regards to? Does anybody know what that's about?
Well, there was a fire on there. No, that was the 10. Why? Something bad today on the 110?
I don't know. I don't know. Hopefully he'll...
Oh, the yacht club burned down in Marina del Rey. That was pretty bad.
Bad. Brian says they're wild on Reddit. So there we go.
Well, there you go.
I want to start this episode off not in 1993, in 1994. I found a clip on the internet today or on Instagram today, and it was this site, BH90210 Restored, played it. It's you, Chuck, at a Christmas lunch. Let's take a look at this.
Also a shot of me. Me.
It's Larry.
That's you, Larry.
Gabrielle.
What can I say except thanks for making 94 a fantastic year and an exciting year. For me, what mostly will be remembered about 94 are you guys. To me, you're more than a crew. You're my colleagues. You're my friends.
Paul's got his arm folded. He can't wait for this to be over.
These people work harder than any other group in television. We produce 32 hours a year, when most standard show will be only 22 hours. In real terms, that's 3 extra months of work. And if we didn't like each other, love each other, it'd be real hard to do.
Nice stuff.
Nice.
So you remember when we were having that debate about when I said we put it in someone's box?
Yes.
It wasn't a box. It was a bag. It was a festive green bag. You saw them there. And that's what people got, whatever the show was giving. The Fellings would give something.
It looked to me like we were given those jackets, which I gave one to Darren Martin, actually. It
had green
said 90210. It was a bluish jacket, like a wool bluish jacket with kind of like Dayglo letters for 90210. Or
something. Yeah, that was. I think mine was I remember it more greenish than blue. Mm.
You said that you had written a letter, just so the audience knows, that you had written a letter, which I think you're going to read. And I asked you, where was this letter distributed? You said in the mail. And there was some people had mailboxes, but the cast didn't have mailboxes, right? They were handed it by their assistants or whoever.
Right, it was in their thing. It was, in the mailboxes. I don't really know how. It was in the main office, right? The art department, the costume department, everybody had a box.
Mm-hmm.
And the producer, we had one too. I never went there. Sherry.
Writers.
Generic and I probably box. Had one too, that Christine or Pippa would use, if they'd leave stuff there. I don't know.
What did we do before email, right?
But this is what I did and said in the exact same way you just saw me on the thing. On December 8th, 1993, the Christmas hiatus is almost here, and what a year it's been for all of us. We blew up cars in the rain. We scampered out to center court at the Forum during halftime. We threw a prom. We graduated high school. We came up with the highest ratings in the history of the Fox Broadcasting Company. And then we reinvented the show. We said goodbye to West Beverly and hello to the brave new world of the Condor. New sets, new locations, except Hermosa. Lots of new recurring characters and issues. There was Vegas and a Take Back the Night rally and a road trip to San Francisco. And let us not forget the double ups. And then the same kind of did like nice sentiment. But that was, you know, the moment that you want me to keep going on. Should I keep going?
I was loving the letter. I love the letter. Okay.
All right. And then, through it all, the headlines, the births, the deaths, the weddings, the birthdays, the fires, the turnover in personnel, the show continues to grow and be stronger than ever. We are rapidly approaching our 100th episode. Our numbers for the November sweeps were up. The series has been renewed for a fifth season. This could not have happened without you, each of you, all of us, working together to make one of the most popular TV shows in the world. A show that gives so many millions of people so much pleasure that I can't help but see it as anything other than a handcrafted gift we give to an edgy world longing to be connected and entertained and loved by good friends.
It's a beautiful
happy letter. Hiatus with love and gratitude, CR.
Oh, that's great.
That's a beautiful letter.
I remember 30
years later, we're talking Christmas about lunch. This.
Yeah, that was my
first. Yeah, they were nice. It was the starting in really season one. I think I heard that we had white tablecloths and we were the gritty. We had no money. It was the grittiest TV show you'll ever be on that first season. And then to have it be set up nicely with candles and this and make it look like you really were part of something was just, you know, a good starting of the Christmas tradition, which we've got going with the show we're going to be doing on the 21st. And then this one, you know, it's a Christmas show somewhere in the world. It's Christmas. But Larry, why I want to talk to you about it, because it was very clear. It's one of the odd episodes that cannot be seen, that Larry and I are referring to as the missing episodes.
Right.
Hashtag save the episodes. Yeah, I mean, terrible, just terrible.
By doing the watch along yesterday, we went through the music. And the music is so benign, and it's really Christmas confounding. Carols. It's really confounding because, you know, it's the one that is we're using comes from you, Pete. I mean, that's where the watch along episode is. And it says on it that it's Jingle Bell Rock is by Frankie Ford. And Frankie Ford was an artist who covered this in 2006. The original was a guy named Chet Bobby Helms.
Helms.
And I know that's the one I would have asked for. So there's been some kind of switch there. There's a Johnny, there's a Gloria Estefan had, you know, This Christmas, special Christmas. It was like a big hit for her that year. And so we use
and it
that.
Fits into the world of 90210 for sure.
And, you know, we have a Silver Bells and Johnny Mathis is playing on background. And then we have Aaron Neffel doing the Christmas song on background. So it's really nothing stuff.
They're too lazy. Too
and then
cheap
the to one other it. One, the one other bit of music, and this is I've been saying to Pete, and as we explore this fan group, the ones that I think that why they just said screw it, we're not bothering with it, is when we recorded our own music, and so we have a children's choir singing "Angels We Have Heard on High," and there was no place to do any transactional business. After we did it for the production run,
right?
So none of this makes any sense. And thankfully, there's a nice regime at CBS now. I still can speak highly of them. And you know, we're going to go over some of these episodes. Larry produced a number of them after I was gone. And we'll go over some of those guys too, you know.
Yeah, and it's just very disrespectful for the fans not to see the whole story, to see like seminal episodes like this one. And I have to say, you know, because I hadn't seen it in a while, it was really such a comfy episode because of the clips. It's just like, you know, it's like a holiday episode. But there's also great stuff. I wanted to ask one question before we get into it. I had never realized the Walsh family were Presbyterians.
I loved that.
I had no idea. So thank you.
This was something that Chuck clarified in this script.
And I was there, but I don't remember.
You know, it was pretty much, I think we've talked about it in this, is that, you know, Carol would say to me, you know, let him go to church. Have him be in church. She observed and attended. And at that point, you know, whatever. And I was like, that made perfect sense. And it was a nice thing to do. We didn't spend. Now, the Wassermans did an episode where they went way deep to Donna talking to a Catholic priest and all of that stuff. You know, even with the Jewish themed episodes we'd have, it was with grandma or on the campus. It wasn't like in the houses of worship, really.
Right.
So it was, you know, so that was, you know, different feeling than I would think. But yeah, so it was always, and in the pilot, he says, and in the first dialogue he has with Dylan, he says, we're Scotch-Irish. And they tend to be Scottish anyway, with Presbyterians. So.
Cool. I thought that was cool.
And Paul was Presbyterian.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. That makes sense.
Make that connection.
Lori McCarthy says 100% agree. What a disservice to the show, characters, writers, and fans. She's referring to the missing music.
Yeah, it's not the missing episodes, everything.
Episodes. The music.
I
can envision a scenario. My hopeful is that they say, okay, here's some stuff. What can we do? And there'll be certain songs that, you know, we'll really want to emphasize, and others it won't matter as much. It just will matter, get something out there so they can start showing the episode again.
Yes.
You know.
Barbara. Just,
they've been too lazy and too cheap.
Barbara Navarro, I don't know if there's relation to Brian, but we want the definitive answer. Why today in box sets, streaming, has the series ditched the original music? Will the series ever be available with all the original music intact? Original watcher here.
I think so. Wednesdays, say yes.
Channel
I say
11,
yes.
8 p.m. That was me for many years. Thank you.
I think,
well, Barbara, I'm going to ask Pete to save it or come back and send him a private chat message so you and I can talk about it, because you just seem like the perfect person to let some people at CBS know that that's how you feel. I am a little, after talking about this for years and only seeing recently a little breakthrough, I don't want to get myself too excited about something that can't be delivered, or to get yourselves in the same way. But I do feel that there'll be some improvements. To get that all that original sound back, you'd almost have to, it would be very difficult. It's hard for me to believe that, because we did a lot of songs. That's one of the reasons I realized season 5, Larry, I think we did 94 songs. That's a lot, because it was 30 episodes. It's just a lot. That's a big vibe. That's a big ask.
Three a show.
And so that was mostly 3 and 4 a show. That's right. So, you know, on some of them, they might be more important than this. Also, one of the things I pointed out, you know, we did do a thing, and Barbara, you might be interested in this. We did this with, you know, some really good 90210 fans that don't really follow the podcast in the same way, but, you know, Darren Martin and Sarah Page Hall and others who helped me put together like some high school episodes. I think it was 22 of them, and then we cut back to 12 of them from the high school years that were a little music centric, and maybe they could be set aside. And the reason I bring them up is that they were loaded with oldies. They were loaded with songs that really don't have much value, especially as 30 years have gone by. The value of these songs haven't gone up.
No, they have to do all of them. I wouldn't even piecemeal. They have to change everything. They owe it to the fans.
And then how amazing would it be on Paramount
Plus? They can sell it as new and improved and drive more subscriptions.
You're just going to say the same thing. Yeah.
They have a whole new way to go at it, I think.
They acknowledge. So hopefully in 2024, as we spend in this, and we'll do some emphasis on these missing episodes, et cetera, et cetera, we'll start mounting a better conversation with CBS. So they'll actually let a more creative team work with them in-house and how to do this the right way.
I have to say this, the cast is going to have to get behind this too. They're going to have to post about it on their social media. We want the music back. If we really want to make an effort to get this restored, there's going to have to be a little bit of a movement here from a lot of people. So
I with think their social media following.
If you're listening, Amy, my good friend Amy, you know.
Yes. Not just Jenny and Tori, but, you know, everybody. This is an important movement for the fans. Look, everybody's going to 90s Con. Everybody's still talking about this show. The reason is the writing, the acting, all of it, but the music was a key part of why we watched every week.
It's something that I think was worthwhile. We put a lot of effort into it, and fans should get to see it one way or the other, even if it requires a slight a payment on some of it. I'm not sure. I just know what we're up against, and you know it's corporate, so they're going to look for every way to save.
Even if they said, you know, okay, we'll get everything back, but the Peach Pit music, you know what I mean? I'm not okay with that too, because some of the Peach Pit music ties in to things that are actually happening in the episode. So it has to be all for me, including the Peach Pit.
You know, Larry, I picked Sally Goes Round the Roses. You know, that would be one that I'd want to hear on a jukebox. You know, it was, even if it meant nothing to anybody else, it was for our generation, the stuff that was on.
They just got to get somebody they can make money out of this and do it.
Yeah.
We should get into the episode. Friend Lisa says, I believe Charles can make this happen for us. So there.
Let's leave it at that. And
now let's talk about this episode. We have a lot. You told me in the watch along yesterday that we're on set a lot. And why don't you tell everybody why that is? We're not going around. We're not doing a lot of things. We're keeping everything into
because this is one. You know, they looked at it, talking about the corporate mentality, and you save when you can save. The fact is that we were coming to the end of a shooting season. We were coming at probably out of Double Ups. I don't know. This might have even been in Double Ups episode. It was episode 14 in that year. But I thought it aired then, but I think it was shot a little later because the point was they wanted to shoot it in like 6 days, 5.5 days. So some clip component, and you had it that you didn't have to move trucks. We only went out the night time on a Friday night. We went out to do the stuff which was the San Fernando mission. You wouldn't know it because we didn't have any time to do any setup and say, wow, we're going to the San Fernando mission. But it was, it was the
good
place.
Location. To do it was a beautiful location.
Midnight Mass. Yeah, you got a little scale. Brad Gross was the director of it. But,
Brad Gross,
The plane isn't going to crash. It's a narratively suspect premise,
It's
not going to crash. So you get everybody to have their flashbacks and get together. And also, I found my own money thing in watching it in this is that the if I would rewrite one or two of the scenes, I just think that Donna was just trying too hard, and it was getting hard. Pete was making me feel guilty the whole time I'm watching it. Oh, David, what are you doing to him? Her, what are you doing? Why are you so mean?
She's so vulnerable, Donna. She's so innocent and sweet here.
David describes it as the sex part. What's the problem? Is it the sex part? The sex part.
And the sex part really does it in for sure.
But I'm sorry. I'm a guy. It's not the young guy there. Still in. That's what he's thinking. I mean, come on, I'm 18 years old and I'm not getting sex. And a lot of guys
in college,
16, 17, 18, 19, they're getting sex. So they're going to want it. And that's the.
It was a big deal. She was really on him throughout this whole episode, checking in with him. Are you okay? Is everything okay with you, David? There was a lot of that. And then we see him at Mel's holiday party. And his mind is thinking about all the times that Donna turned him down.
He should be getting laid. That's his flashbacks. That's his clips.
Yeah. I mean, when he's talking about silver bells, we know what he's talking about.
Blue balls.
I posted about it today, and everybody, like a good portion of me, people said to me, this was horrible of David. Why would David do this to Donna? So it is a theme that people were very upset by this. I don't like to see Donna hurt like that. Larry, do you like to see Donna in that predicament?
No, but they had to find a way to have a new relationship in college, you know, so they had to figure out what it was. So it's going to be a little bit ugly getting there, but, you know, it's just part of it, you know.
We have a poll on our Instagram right now. Has this ever happened to you? Have you ever been broken up with on your birthday or on a holiday? So go answer that question.
Yes, I was. No, he broke up right before it and then made out with me on my 16th birthday and then never talked to me again.
Ghosted. Huh?
Nice. Until we were adults. Yeah.
Larry, how about you? Have you ever been broken up or broken up with anybody on a holiday or a birthday?
No, I don't think so. Can't say.
He's the heartbreaker.
I broke up with someone on New Year's Day once. Is that a holiday? I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Well, it is if you're playing in the Rose Bowl.
That's true.
done with that Ohtani thing, Chuck. Let me tell you.
Ohtani, yes. Someone wanted me to ask you about that. Ticket prices,
you must have gone up a bit.
You know, I find it, you know, I go to the games now just a couple of times. I'm in a buy-in with guys, so we'll see if they honor it, you know, with me and I get my tickets early on to go to a couple of games. And then Pete and I will go to a game to get to, you know, go to get the Felipe's before the game.
I love that, yeah.
And you know, but otherwise, it's a fucking hassle to get off, to get there, to get down. It's they built this stadium, and I'm old enough to know because I was there the first week it opened. It was 15 minutes away from everything. You went to Dodger Stadium, you just could get in, then park, just get there. You know, it was not a big traffic around it. So it was
San Diego has a really nice park. San Diego,
I like San Diego's park. That's probably my favorite of the modern parks. I don't know. We're thinking of some kind of travel this year. We may go to, we'll talk a little bit more about it. But might be going to London in January to see Cruel Intentions, the musical.
Amazing.
Opening there. And that would be fun. We're kind of debating whether we're going to do that. So, but there are other, you know, like, well, we could do this or we could do this, but there are a couple of more stadiums I got to see before. I really did. And they just, out of the way and inconvenient times, but I really need to see the Pirates and the Reds, both of those two stadiums.
Oh, well, you should join Larry in Cincinnati. You spend some
time. I'm going to be in Cincinnati for about a week in mid-August. I mean, mid-April.
Oh.
I'm going to have my birthday in Cincinnati, in fact.
Amazing. Really? Catherine says, I love this episode. Season 4 is Kelly's best year. She was the voice of reason for a blip in time.
Well, she was proven right, because the other thing about this episode is we get to see Suzanne and Erica for the first time, and that the beginning of the long con plays out, and it's so good.
Telling Chuck, the brilliance of it is that it's in a Christmas clip episode, right? Like, so it's really, your guard is not up about storyline. It feels like filler for the holiday season.
And that makes it all right by telling Dylan it's Christmas, you know.
Right. Let me show. I have a clip.
I know these people are scamming me. He says, I know these people are scamming me.
He literally says that. So here's a clip of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Tried to help two lost souls today, okay? And I don't know if they're scamming me or what, but this woman shows up on my doorstep, claims she's the mother of Jack McKay's long-lost daughter.
What?
Yeah. So I told him I'd get him something to eat. He fix me some of this stuff up quick.
Yeah, sure.
Now I know what people mean by fruitcakes at Christmas. She's hustling me. I can feel it.
Dylan, I don't know what's going on with this woman, but if there's ever one night of the year that you can give a stranger a benefit of the doubt, this has got to be it.
The worst
that
advice.
That makes the whole con work.
Well, he just got for the one night up in Dad's defense. It was just for the night. After tonight, you're on your own. You know,
yeah, you're not supposed to let these people stay and live with you. Right, that's exactly.
They set the hook, my friend.
And then she ends up working at the Peach Pit.
I know. It's hilarious.
I know.
Makes herself so even good, more.
And God,
that know, was Carrie my Kane promise, and, you know, Larry, because, you know, to Aaron.
I remember, to Alan.
And he was, this was like the episode that you're pinning stuff on. And, you know, he's still not happy that they're not in high school. I mean, that's the show he was making. That's the one we were doing, you know, that was the one that was working. And all of a sudden we're doing these things. So he never, you know, he didn't believe that. You'll be so far down the road. You won't even think about it.
No, Chuck, great. Then the work of Nolly Thornton and Carrie Keene is just terrific in this stuff. And
oh yeah. Well, the quality.
I love watching her as an actress. They're both terrific. Yeah.
Chuck, you've talked a little bit about this before, about having to go in and pitch this storyline. What is it like when you pitch a storyline to Aaron Spelling? I mean, this storyline of them being hustled and all that, it's not necessarily like a 90210 teenage drama storyline. It's very interesting. You're not going to see this happen to him. Was he immediately?
Well, I think that was the reason on this particular one that he was a little more fussy in giving me the benefit of the doubt, because, you know, it was usually by the time, you know, the first season, the story power was not with Aaron Spelling. The first six, as we've discussed, was with Fox. And right. So, you know, Aaron, we just kept trying to fit it in. And I've said, you know, really clearly that him not coming to the network and saying, I like the AIDS episode, that would have never been fucking made. They had to swallow their sword on that one. And so he would still do it, but he was he liked to pitch, he didn't like how, you know, maybe
a rich person losing their money is a great story. I mean, this, you take away Dylan's money, I mean, that's we're going to good territory there. You're challenging his character,
right? But he wasn't at that moment in the first hearing it. I don't believe that was the first thing he'd be thinking about. Yes, this is a good story. It might be the second and third when I said, we'll get it, it'll be down. We'll have this, we'll have him be able then not to have his money and how to get it back. And he saw all of that. Aaron knew that the key was finding storylines, stories that you could tell, beginning, middle, and an end stories, you know, and to fill up the time, especially if he was making us do 32.
Well, I was just going to say, you're doing 32 episodes a season. So, I mean, right. What's wrong with this? This is a great storyline. You know, it fits in. It keeps you interested.
Well, it wasn't much of a straw. He just, as I say, he just expressed a little bit of, it's not going to work, because he was in the, you know, when Aaron got stressed out, he went to a negative place. Mm-hmm. And when he was, had more confidence about what was going on or where everything was, or just felt better about it, he was a lot of fun to be around. There was no question about that. He was Aaron Spelling. It was a big, you're in show business. You had no illusions about that. You know, I think I told this story. This is an appropriate Christmas story, I think. He said, maybe, at one point, Larry, he wanted me to bring in Bill Blinn to do the show with me.
Oh, I love Bill, yeah.
I love Bill Blinn, but Bill Blinn had just rewritten me on a Robert Guillaume pilot at Disney. So I was rushing after Northern Exposure to get back with Bill on that. Although, I think I've told you that Bill wrote me a letter and actually said, you know, they've got me rewriting your script. Your script shouldn't be rewritten.
And that's so
fabulous. He knew there was a lot of good stuff in there, but we worked for the guys. That's why I said I didn't want it. And that created a problem for Aaron. So he calls to me. This is the second time we've talked on the phone. And he jumps on the phone, and what he says to me is, who do you have to fuck to get out of this business? And what crossed my mind, but I didn't say it, was, well, I would have thought it was you, Aaron. But, you know.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, that was, that was the guy. I mean, the one who'd been there and done this and knew and anticipated. And, you know, our great fun that we had. I'm looking up here right now at all the now very irrelevant Golden Globes, but not irrelevant in the 80s and 90s when we were doing the show. that he actually put on a press conference with Shannon and Luke and Jason. I'm not sure Shannon actually, come to think of it, was Luke and Jason for sure, and he was there. And the man who owned the company at the time, a guy named Carl Linder, was there, I remember. And there we were in the, you know, for the entire awards. And then we get nominated for best series. You know, it was kind of what you got to do to be in the ball game. And we, you know, that was fun stuff being with the Spelling Company on stuff like that.
Melissa says, I'm just mad because it was such a big deal for David. Why didn't he break up with her earlier? It had to be on Christmas and her birthday. So there's some of that still coming up with people that are very upset about that.
People make mistakes, you know, people don't make the right choice. I mean, that's
a young kid. I mean, that's how I look at it.
Well, speaking of, Lisa says in high school, Ryan broke up with me the night before Valentine's Day. So what happened there? I mean, that's
just blow it up. I mean, you know, look, if you're going to have a bad day, just
that was your moment, Lisa, right then. And then, you know.
Thaddy agrees. David, not nice. Definitely not nice of you to break up on Donna's birthday. What were you thinking? Jeez.
Well, what, I mean, you know, but you know, remember I said every story needs a beginning, middle, and end. So what was going to be the end? Why even bring them up? I didn't even need them in the episode. For me, I didn't need them in this episode at all. But we had to keep this part alive, so let's keep it alive. And we did have the... There was custody issues going on.
Yeah, I want to get to that.
The great Dr. Silverstein, though, with Kelly Taylor.
Yeah, that was a nice fight going in.
I want to show that.
You got that clip, right?
Yeah, yes. Cool. Let's see. David. At least David didn't have to give Donna a birthday Christmas gift, says Cedar.
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking. You know, at the time.
All right. Let's see what this is.
Bad teeth?
No, it means you have bad eating habits. You sound just like your mom, don't I? Now, she has good teeth. Your mom.
With everything that's going on, for you to leave your own party on Christmas Eve has to be the nicest.
Kel, I may have been a lousy husband, but I'm a very good dentist. And when all is said and done, I'm not a bad father either.
Well, I really tried to talk her out of bringing this lawsuit against you. I did, but...
Shh. It's okay. I'm not angry at you. I'm not even angry at her anymore. I saved my contempt for her lawyer. And for me. Kel, if I could turn back the clock and start over, I would. But I can't. And she'll never forgive me for it. She even got a new dentist.
I do miss you, Mel. Not too tight.
Really, that's beautiful.
That's a great Beverly Hills scene, you know, with divorce and, you know, again, but melding because the family stays together, you know. You break up, but you keep the dentist.
The thing too with Mel goes up there when David's having those flashbacks and visions of all the times Donna rejected him. Mel comes up to him and says, "Hey, don't stress out about all of this stuff going on with the lawyers." Like Mel is in the mindset that that's what must be upsetting David at the holiday party. That it's not, you know what I mean? Because he's so focused on this split with
Right.
With Kelly's mom. Yeah. Larry, you really loved that scene.
I do. It's a good antidote to Mel giving champagne to the kids. You know, you just really see he's really a good soul and just trying to do the right thing, you know, living the best he can. a little like the Allman Brothers sing song. Yes. Anyway, he's good. I do like him.
When I think of the swinging 60s of Beverly Hills, it was, you know, Pan Am flight attendants and Beverly Hills dentists. That was what I was drawing on all those years later about what I remember from my high school age. You know, it was the fathers who were dentists, which were driving the Porsche and had the swinging.
They want too much time on their hands, you know.
Maybe. Someone pointed out that Dylan kisses Donna here under the mistletoe, which means that Dylan has kissed
times,
all of the characters on 90. All the I think he kissed all the female characters.
Well, didn't they kiss when on the dreams? The dream
yes.
to Dylan.
That's when he completed yes. it. That's when he completed the circle. Right. Yeah. Yes, but that was in a dream state. He actually did it in the apartment on the mistletoe under the mistletoe.
Yeah, they actually kissed three times. He kind of pokes once, pokes twice, and then he goes back for more. And then Kelly, finds disagreement with that.
As an expert kiss person, what is your thought on the kiss?
I thought he went for it. The final one was pretty good. You know, again, he was a wonderful actor. He's committed to his character.
Yes, that's fair enough.
I'm sure Tori enjoyed it.
Okay, and then of course, what everybody's. Oh well, I don't have a clip of this, Chuck. But do you want to talk about the airplane? Where you guys shot that? And I don't know. What did you think of those scenes when we watched it on the watch along?
Well, again, they're anticlimactic and a little fake because the plane isn't really going to go down. You know, it may have had to do all those steps, and it does raise your blood pressure. And so I guess we succeeded in that part of it. But in terms of there ever being really that somehow this family was in doubt, the doubt was, I guess, what you find out is that they're just going to stay in Beverly Hills and be at the house and not really, you know, go anywhere. And that was how the Rosen family spent Christmas, because my mother's birthday was December 27th, and my father always wanted to take us out to nice local restaurants. So the adult children would stay and have that family time.
Larry, do you have thoughts on the plane stuff?
I know. I thought it played out well. You know, look, you had all the beats, and it gave it a good chance to have people be reflective so you could put the clips mm-hmm. in a natural way. And, he gave kind of Brenda has a little bit of a plane phobia, which is kind of good. And, yeah, no, I thought it worked. And then they all end up at the Peach Pit, we shouldn't forget, where there's, they're having, the party there, which was great. It's really important for this kind of show to have everyone at least at the end together or somewhere,
right.
Someplace in the show really enjoying something. And
bonding. Oh, here's the way I've been thinking about all this David Donna stuff.
Okay, here's I'm about to show
I,
a clip.
That's the way I look at it. Nonetheless, this was the hard road. These are the things that make a relationship really count and come together. They got married on the series, guys. You got the happy ending. That you didn't get it every single moment of their lives would make them not even real characters on any level. You got what you wanted. They got married.
Well put.
They
well
stayed put. Together. Nobody else did that.
That's true.
Well,
that's true. Well, here is the breakup, though it's just not a pretty breakup, Chuck. You feel angry when you see him.
He has no experience. He's an 18-year-old kid.
Okay, I see that point, but look at poor little Donna when she walks in here. Look at this.
Everything.
I just want to finish up.
Okay, let me help.
Donna, just go back with the others, all right? I'll be done in a couple of minutes.
What's wrong?
Right there. That's the moment that I was really upset. Right there, because she's trying to figure out what's wrong. She doesn't even know she's what's wrong.
Nothing.
David, don't shut me out. You can talk to me.
I can't.
You can't what?
Donna.
No.
I can't go on like this, all right? Donna, I love you. You know what? I don't even want to discuss this right now. It's your birthday. It's Christmas. Let's just go out and...
No.
He did try. He did.
I mean, she pushes it. She should have, minute he was in a bad mood, she should have walked away. It's all her. She asked for this.
He did give her the option to say.
And also, the scene before this and the scene before this and the scene before this. On this, and I fault the writer. Who wrote this piece? One note the whole time. One note in this plot. One note. Donna. What now? I'm not blaming Brad as the performer in this, but there was nothing we couldn't concentrate. This was not an episode to concentrate on a performance or this or that, except for the beginning of the scam, which is where the story was very dynamic and pushed things forward. This didn't. This was a filler scene. It could have been in any spot, and now it's the payoff of the same relationship. And I'm being just a hostile critic here, as I have. But
I feel that Donna
walks into it. She walks into it.
I feel what you did
for the fifth time. I mean, he just didn't want to talk about it.
I think you're being too hard on the writer of this episode. I think you're being too hard on the writer.
I think he is too. I think
because it is very, what you did was showing Donna in those other scenes. It is a very difficult thing for someone like David, who does love this girl, to break up with her. You were showing that it's not easy for him, that this is a problem. Let's finish this.
And also for her to keep her what she really wants, which is to keep her virginity. It's a hard struggle, man. That makes it all the more worthwhile to her.
What are you saying?
It's the sex part.
It's our relationship. It's just not working for me anymore. Especially the sex part. I'm sorry.
Oh, he shouldn't have said that. He shouldn't have said that.
I wanted to wait until after.
Get away from me.
He said the sex part. He said the sex part. You know, he was honest. She wanted to hear what she wanted. She said they could talk. Now she can't talk.
Keeping America immature. What can I say? You know, keeping America
what
immature.
What not to say it. What not to say it is a part of a long relationship.
But I will say that Tori is a beautiful actress. When she what she was able to do with Donna and some of this stuff is just really incredible.
Yeah, no, she was down there. She got there. No question.
She got there, you know, and the emotion between the two of them was really, really nice stuff.
And Aaron got to have a virgin daughter.
Is there any other things that we want to talk about in this episode that we have not mentioned? We mentioned the scam. Oh, just that. No, you said Noli was really, really wonderful in her scenes. And, you know, we have a long history of doing this podcast. And so sometimes people have not gone back and listened to Carrie Keene, her interview yet. Sometimes people are walking right into their first episode tonight. You know, go back and listen to Carrie Keene when she was on, because she said,
Hey, you should post what the numbers are of those podcast numbers where they can find
for sure.
It.
Yeah. But for her, she had no idea that the character was inevitably going to be a drifter. She had no idea that they were doing a scam. She believed the entire time that she was doing this that her character was honest and good. And I think that's really worked.
Oh, I wanted to point out for the writer of the episode, bringing out the flood story was great. I love the flood story where she just kind of slams Dylan back by telling the flood story. Like, yeah, rain. Dylan starts making fun of her, and she just goes, rain.
Exactly. Well, the audience.
I love that. I remember when you told me that you got, dude, that was great. Yeah, perfect.
Well, yeah, you know, it was really a bad. Big.
Make him feel guilty now. Postal elites.
Well, right. But it was interesting. It was our way in 90. What was it? Was this 93, right?
93, yeah.
Yeah. 93 of dealing with climate change.
Yeah.
The Mississippi had flooded in these places. And the thing was, I remember very well watching George Will on by David Brinkley on the Sunday show, saying that there shouldn't be flood insurance. That they just give them flood insurance again, and it's going to flood in the same spot. You know, little did I know, 30 years later, I'd be in a lawsuit having to do with the prospects of flood insurance. But
it's hilarious. Yeah.
The thing is, I never saw it coming. The brilliance of the way you started this storyline is one of the big things from this episode, the scam storyline, because it feels like it is a beautiful holiday moment that I
maybe got that's to have. The reason that CBS doesn't want anybody to see it. You know, I don't know. Maybe it isn't the music. Maybe it's the storyline. I do feel, Larry, and the next one we'll do at some point in January when we get back into doing another one of these. I want to do a pig as a boy as a dog.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why that one is not available to be seen.
Oh, that's
a, that one may be the content. That may be the content. I don't know.
Oregon. But yeah, Chuck, what also works is this breakup with David and Donna at the end throws you off the path of the scammer storyline, because we're back to thinking that this was the episode where David broke up with Donna.
Well, that was the one thing that I think we really were able to take advantage of, is because we had so many characters and stories.
Really happens in the episode,
that you can move it there and go that, you know. I mean,
it's satisfying.
In the episode where Andrea realizes she's pregnant, it's the last moment. you know, this whole episode's gone. Oh my God, I'm pregnant. What were you going there? You know, right?
Well, we should mention that there is another thing.
Mark Damon Espinosa is very good in this episode, also.
Yes.
By the way, he was
Nice,
a lot of life to Jesse's character in this episode.
Well, but there is the way Andrea dresses for church, which was
That's pretty funny.
Like he's going to Orthodox.
That was cool. That was a good little moment. That was sweet for them.
Someone wanted to know, asked a funny question. Did Mel charge Kelly for the Christmas Eve visit? Did he run it through her insurance? No.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe. That's got to be a pretty penny.
She might have had Delta Dental.
That's a pretty penny to spend on a Christmas Eve dental visit. He left his party for this thing.
He wasn't going to charge her, but if he could defraud somebody, he probably would.
Yeah, I think he might have put through insurance. That's possible.
but not charge her.
Our friend Chris asked that question. Okay. Maggie said she's going to make a list of David and Donna's breakups. Okay. Hey, Maggie.
And also the near miss sexual evenings, too. So make a list of that also.
There's
two or three, I think.
That's important to have like both.
Coitus interruptus.
Oh, yeah. The condom episode. I know that for sure. He was all expectations.
And there are a couple other ones.
Talking condoms,
I remember that. Yeah, there's at least two other ones. We had like the dream singers with Howard Stern that was that episode also.
Jason Tracy asks, did we ever determine that Susan really dated Dylan's father, or was that photo she shared doctored?
That's one of the great mysteries.
Well, I'm talking to the authors.
I would say she did. I would like to think that Erica really was Dylan's half-sister.
What do you think, Chuck?
I think so as well.
That's the final word on it.
I mean, that was our intention.
That's what you would have, yeah.
Because otherwise, you wouldn't want Dylan to, waste his affection on someone.
No, and I don't think that, and I think this came, we were talking about it, this probably came about later. I mean, that she'd probably done some kinds of stuff and been the thing, but I think that this was really his call, his putting together. And, because they really, Noli was just there for the ride. I mean, she wasn't part of it. She did all that cute Christmas stuff. She didn't know one was scamming now, I'm not sure she knew.
She was a prop, though. She was a very useful prop. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, she was, she was the bait, basically.
Right, because there's no assurance that they didn't talk the first time about it when on the day that Dylan saved his life from getting hit by the bus.
Oh yeah, that's good too. Yeah, I love that.
I love that scene, and I do know that we covered all that stuff, but some of that episode is so good.
I think it might be in Divas. I mean, I remember writing it, but I think so. It must be one toward the end of the season. I think.
Someone pointed out to me that we did cover Divas, the main storyline, but we didn't cover individually some of those episodes. And there's some very good stuff on season four towards the end that we accidentally missed because we were so focused on Roy Randolph and all of that stuff when we had him on. So maybe that's something we can look at. Maggie wants to know, how did Suzanne know he had money?
Well, the father had money.
Jack McKay had died, so the money would have gone to the son.
There was articles about it in business news, different places.
He was,
I mean, he'd been a figure. They knew what he had or didn't have. I mean, he's someone you scan. I can't tell you how much money Jamie Dimon has, but he's got a lot of money.
Yes. Okay, I think we covered this episode. Really great Christmas episode. Chuck, you've written some Christmas episodes, and so have you, Larry. Chuck, where does this one rank in your Christmas 90210?
I'm always going to be partial to Talking Stars and Jimmy Stewart and going back to my high school in the Albion, which we called the Albion Street School, not the, at the time. That was the school that I got to go and sing once, and the other time just be a friend in the classroom a couple of times.
I still love the one where Santa visits and
that's
that.
Yeah, part Point to that one. I just didn't write those ones. That one.
What about you, Larry? Where does this one rank in the? Because you do some later ones.
Yeah. Well, Christmas episodes are always difficult, but there's lots of good stuff happens to this one. Again, I like the fact that, you know, besides the clips, he also had something happen. That relationship ends between David and Donna. That really gave something the audience something satisfying about the episode.
So, I do love that too.
You always wanted to have that in every episode, that it was really
complete. You know, it wasn't a Christmas episode, but it was right before Christmas, so it felt like it. And the same thing was when, you know, Steve gets on the bus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love that.
And then, you know, in season six, we had the great crazy cocaine in the Walsh house with Colin Robbins. So that was kind of fun. But I couldn't remember. I haven't seen the episode in a while, so I don't know what else was going there.
We were
going
to look at
and one then we did the gift wrap. We did the one with the Secret Santa where I had the Blind Boys of Alabama doing a gospel bro.
Oh, I saw that one. I like that. Yeah.
Oh, man, that was cool. We have dailies from that one, actually. We should look at some.
Yes, we should do that.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, Maggie says, can't wait for the Christmas Super Deluxe show next week. Hopefully there's a secret word and everyone drinks.
There's definitely got to be a drinking game component, drinking, smoking component. We're going to try to like make it like Family Feud if we can.
Yes, so that is next week, next Thursday.
The winter solstice
for the Super Deluxe Christmas
December 21st
show, the 21st, and we will have some of you on too. So hit me up if you guys want to come on and share some love and share some joy with the holidays.
And a beverage.
And a beverage for sure. All right, guys, this has been great. We will see everybody next week.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye.